beginning of the vaccination era, I guess, was back in the generous time when Jenner supposedly observed that some man didn't get smallpox disease that we're supposed to talk about. Mm-hmm. What was the mechanism going on there?
Their whole premise, and you didn't understand this, their whole premise is building an antibody to the particular disease or virus or bacterium. And that premise is not even scientific. And I'll give you an example of that. If you have somebody who has mono and they sneeze on you and you get an exposure to mononucleosis and you go get a mono titer done, a blood titer it's called, it's going to show high levels of an antibody. It doesn't mean you have it. It means you're exposed to it. So there's a big difference between having an antibody increase of a titer versus you having the sickness. So their misconception is if we can somehow get the titers up and get the antibody production up, you've got long-term immunity. Immunity has nothing to do with an antibody increase of the body. It just means you're exposed to it. So when they inject you with this witch's brew to your blood, of course you're going to get a high antibody reading. So that's their sole false premise of immunology. And these immunologists, you need to understand this, their training in med school is not on the orchestration of the immune system, it's individual fractionated components. So these immunologists are so ignorant because they're looking at the, you know, mass neutrophils, and then they'll study the, you know, a basophil or a monocyte and a mast cell and the tumor necrosis factor. Here's the reality of it. Their immune system works like a fiber optic phone system of perfect synergy, like an orchestra. You have a symphony conductor that orchestrates the 22 components of the immunity. So these 22 instruments are constantly firing messages and communicating, and you cannot isolate and do an interferon injection or immunoglobulin injection or gamma or do a bone marrow transplant without throwing off the whole immune system. And that's the reason why there's no answers in building immunity in the medical profession. Everything that allopathic models use is creating a disorder and a suppression to the immunity. It doesn't build it. And that's the reason why they bring you to almost the brink of death on a bone marrow transplant before they bring you back up. And you know, their concept is if we can somehow inject the disease in you, we can build an antibody. And I'm going to prove that can happen. Okay, what happens when you take a human heart and you transplant it into a human? What happens? It rejects. Now, if human to human is rejection, you don't think that a monkey virus or a calf or a horse is not going to be rejected? And that's amazing to me how these are brilliant minds. You know, even scripturally it says, I will take the fools of the world to confound the wise. These are reprobate minds because they're atheistic. If you don't have the Holy Spirit and you're a doctor or a scientist and you're not a believer, you're going to be given up to deception. Period. And the whole system I'm going to prove today is set up to create sickness. It's sickness incorporated. It's business. And you are their consumer. There is no science in science. It's all pseudoscience, and I'm going to prove that this afternoon. None of it is science. All of it's based on false concepts. And you need to know this because you'll make a wrong choice. If you don't know this information from April and myself today, you will bring your daughter or son or mother or a coworker or a family member or a loved one to the wrong people, and they're going to injure you, period. It might not happen today, it might not happen this week, but they will injure you eventually. It's a numbers game. It's Russian roulette. Okay, and also too, since it's a small group, I'm going to play Q&A, two questions and answers. My heart today is to give you golden nuggets of information, so I'm going to paint the big picture today of not only how vaccines correlate with every disease known to man, the direct and indirect links to it, but also the solution. Well, we don't want to leave you hanging today. This is gloom and doom type information sometimes, it seems like. So, you know, God's way of non-toxic, non-invasive treatments, and this is what I use in my practice as a naturopathic physician, versus the allopathic side, we're going to kind of switch gears, and I'm going to show you when you would go to an MD and when you wouldn't even pick up the phone and talk to them and even make a decision of going to them. You know, there's an area of medicine that is of the Lord in the allopathic model, and there's an area that is of Lucifer. It's that cut and dry. Okay, it's either a control factor, and one scripture sums it all up. What's the scripture? Anybody know? God warns you of pharmakia. What is it? Revelations 18:23 says, "By thy sorceries are all nations deceived." If you look in the Greek concordance under sorcery, it means witchcraft, poison, pharmakia, pharmakos, and that's pharmacy. So by drugs, pharmacy, all nations, not just the U.S., all nations are deceived. Deception. The white coat's in a position of trust. Satan will never come at you with red horns and a tail. He's coming at you with white light. He cannot deceive you by showing really what he's doing. He's always going to move behind the scenes on you. So we're going to dig out the Luciferian landmines this afternoon. And we're going to show every one of them, as far as in the time allotted, of what's creating the sickness to God's people. What defeated Satan on the cross? The blood. So his motive is, I'm going to bring you through his eyes, he wants to contaminate your blood. Anybody that has a link to Yeshua Messiah, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, his blood sacrifice, anybody that's of God, Yahweh, he wants you dead. And so he's going to attack the very life force. Life begets life, death begets death. So if life of the flesh is in the blood, if life is in the blood, death and disease is in the blood. And that blood river flows to the 100 trillion cells that make up the body. So in a creation factor, I want even the children to understand, I'm going to just kind of bridge in a lot of the parables, to show children, God wants us, even his little children, to understand how this human biological machine runs and how it's created. And if you understand how it runs and how to function and what to put in the cellular engines, just like a car, you know what kind of fuel to put in a car. Everybody, you see people on Sunday, they're polishing their car and they're sitting there waxing it. They're making sure the right octane is put into it, but yet they're eating Krispy Kremes and a couple, you know, and Cokes and Dr. Peppers, and they treat their bodies like a carburetor, like the stomach is just going to somehow separate the good and the bad and shift out the bad. It doesn't happen that way. You can't digest linoleum or plastic any more than you can digest these Frankenfoods of the world. The Frankenstein foods of the world that are boxed, canned, jarred, and packaged and microwaved are slowly putting us in the grave, and it gets back to the pollution of the contamination to the blood. And once that blood becomes contaminated, you've got a river of death and disease. And it's just a matter of time before that blood river dumps these carcinogens and acids and toxins into a weak link in your body. Everybody in here has a weak link in the chain of organs, a path of least resistance. And where your path of least resistance is, your target zones, is your genetic predisposition given from mommy and daddy. So when your gene sequence is weak in, let's say, the elbows, or the brain, or the heart, or the liver, this is where these toxins we breathe, we eat, we inject, and it's all initiated by vaccines. The vaccine initiation into the blood wipes out the immune system. It can't build it. And I'm going to prove my point here. When a child is born, the only way to build an immunity is upon natural exposure slowly. Dust particles come in, germs from the hospital, you know, and that wonderful immune system recognizes and then tells the natural killer or tells the memory cell to go get it. So it's a hierarchy, a cascading effect that is done by exposure of germs and pollens and bacterial forms and so forth. When that child's immunity is just starting to build within a few hours of the hospital, they're sticking that child with a Hep B right in the blood. So what happens is there's two polars of immunity. You need to know this. And there's a B lymphocyte killer called humoral phase. Humoral is fluids. So God has created an immunity at the blood fluid level in the saliva and your lymph fluids, but he also has an immunity at the cellular level. So it's a protection of a surveillance in case something gets inside the cell, way down deep. When those two are working perfectly in tandem, you got perfect immunity. When you bypass the natural defense mechanisms of your nose, breathing, your lungs, your digestive tract, your skin, when germs lay on the skin, at least your body can recognize it and tell the immunity what it is. So it gives it time to tell it what type of foreign antigen it is to attack and to memorize it. So what happens is when you bypass all the natural defense of swallowing and breathing and on the skin or in the lung, and you hit a witch's brew mishmash of all those ingredients that April showed, a mercury and aluminum and formaldehyde and formalin and acetone, and on top of the monkey viruses that are cultured from the tissues, guess what? It hits the blood and it hypersensitizes that one system of the B lymphocytes, hypersensitizes it so much that it shuts down the cytotoxic T cells for good. It means it wipes it all out. So that means there's no surveillance at any level. The wall is shot down at the cellular level because you just hypersensitize the humoral phase of the immunity and you throw off the, you rock the boat, throw off homeostasis. Okay? So it sets up an immunosuppression for the rest of your life. That'll never come back unless you do some of the things that we're going to talk about today. There's a way of reversing that. But on top of the feeling of the fire, on top of that weakness of the injections, not injection, injections, that means that they tell you that that microgram dosage of mercury is non-lethal, it doesn't hurt you, and aluminum, you know, that level is safe for human use. I'm going to show you that homotoxicology is a waste of time in the medical profession. They might as well just pack up and stay home because it's useless information. When they do toxicology studies on a toxic element and they find what's called GRAS, generally recognized as safe, they'll find a so-called level of safety for mercury, human, aluminum, cadmium, MSG, sodium benzoate, you know, aspartame, whatever it is. Here's how pathetic this is. They'll spend 3 years on one element to find that safe measure of mercury for human use. Then they'll spend 3 years myopically on aluminum and spend 3 years on aspartame. You tell me one time ever that a human being has ever been exposed to one element at a time. So where is your homotoxicology studies doc when you mix a low level of mercury with acetone and formaldehyde and formalin and white sugar and white flour and fluorocarbons and fossil fuels and industrial contaminants and PCBs and dioxin and DDT and on and on. I could go on for 2 hours to show you the chemicals that Satan has actually dumped through his people, his children, on this planet, our waters, our air, our food, and it's everywhere. He's got his landmines everywhere. He's got his Parkinson's variety pack on your restaurant tables. And that's what it is. You've got a pink pack, a blue one, a yellow, and the sugar is the least of all evils. And it literally is a Parkinson's variety pack, or Alzheimer's. Pick your choice. Pick your poison. Because that eventually goes into the brain. It's a formaldehyde. And when it heats up on the trucks, your Coke drinkers or any, you know, any of the Dr. Pepper, the only reason why they call it Dr. Pepper is you'll meet a doctor by the time they can come with you after drinking liters of this stuff. And what happens is when you drink this formaldehyde-based garbage, the actual formaldehyde goes right into the brain, and that includes the formula and the vaccines. This is purposely done, people. This is not accidental. They want you sick. Sickness incorporated, diabetes incorporated, cancer incorporated is big business. And to prove my point that it is an agenda they're doing, and you know about this and your children, if they were looking out for your best interest, they would make sure there's organic farming. They would make sure you're eating clean food because that's one of the elements that helps with the blood. That's one of the factors that's not even an option is organic, clean food. You have to go out of your way today to get real food. You have to go out of your way. You just can't go down to the local IGA or Kroger's, whoever you have here, and get organic food. Try looking for it. And you have to go out of your way. This is the narrow gate that the Lord teaches in the Scriptures. Broad is the way, and wide is the gate that leads to destruction. And many there will find it, and narrow is the gate, and straight is the way that leads to life. This is not only spiritual life, physical life. And Scripture tells you in a Trinity format, every Scripture you meditate on, you know it talks to you in the spiritual side of man, the soul realm, and the physical side. It's not just spirit only. So when you look at that Scripture, Matthew 7:14, let's look at even the spiritual side of that Scripture. Wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there will find it. That is talking about what? The wide gate of the isms, religion. And you know what ism means in the Webster's? Man-made human rituals, human conformities. They're telling you, I'm man-made. Catholicism, Mormonism, Taoism, Judaism, Confucianism. And then you have secularism, atheism, Marxism. It's telling you right there, I'm a man-made religion. Christianity. Now you got your black sheep. You got the one that did it to the blood, and you ride your shirt tail of perfection instead of working your way to nirvana or enlightenment through the isms. Okay? So here's your wide gate of destruction, spiritual life destruction, and then your narrow gate of someone who did it through the blood for you, perfection, through Yeshua Messiah's his blood. So then you also have the wide gate in the soul realm. What would be the wide gate in the soul realm that's going to lead to destruction and many thereof find it? What's the soul of the body? What's the soul? Your mind, your emotions, your will. So what happens when you read trash novels, when you are watching polluted information or disinformation, or you're watching rated R movies and so forth with killings and rape and so forth, you're polluting your soul, that wide gate of destruction to your soul. And then you look into the physical realm of that wide gate, and that is the wide gate of your fast foods, your Frankenfoods. And eventually you're going to have a destruction to the physical body. And many there will find it, the conformity road. Narrow gate is that road to organic foods. That little narrow gate where you got to go out of your way to eat and drink organic foods. And it's such a blessing today for April and I to be able to have a place that actually serves organic food. You know, everywhere we go for churches and everywhere we present, they're eating Frankenfoods. You know, so it was so nice to see, you know, and I appreciate that for going out of your way to do that, because that's important, especially, you know, even teaching the children what the difference is between the synthetic. It's a sin, S-I-N, to put synthetic into a human biological machine. It doesn't run on synthetics. Okay, so remember that, it's a sin, not S-Y-N, it's a S-I-N, synthetic. And it's pathetic, you should call it, for people to believe that they can just stick a synthetic chemistry with no life force into a human and expect it to run. It's like throwing a crowbar into an engine and expect it to fix it. So I'm going to get into a lot of ground today, Emmett, so put your little thinker's caps on. Does anybody want to know how they're made? This is something that they never teach to a nurse. They never teach you what a vaccine is made from and how it's made to any doctor, any pediatrician. And if they knew this information, they wouldn't even give them. And this is our goal, and pray for this, that we can get this information to news teams or television. If people knew how the vaccine was made, they would never give them to their children. Okay, you ready? You ready how this witch's brew is made? Okay. They take a three-month-old calf. They strap it to a tilting table, they flip it up, it's like an operating table, and they cut about a 12 to 15 inch square and shave it down to the skin. They take a sharp instrument and they cut 100 incisions into the skin. Then they take anybody have the mark in their child from the smallpox? Okay, and I do too, so don't feel bad. This is what you had injected in you. Okay? They'll take a smallpox from humans. Now where do you think they're getting the smallpox from? What extraction? We're getting it from the blood, or the urine, or even feces of somebody who has smallpox, just to get the disease. They glycerinate it, they take one drop and they rub it in to each incision, all 100 of them. And then they take this calf, and they have to lock it up. They can't have it lay down because the blood needs to be circulated. So they lock it up in stalls so they can't lay down, and this is 3-4 weeks of standing up. And that is just barbaric cruelty to these animals. They lock up the head in wooden locks so they can't lick, because there's no natural instinct they're going to want to lick those sores. So they got to keep it from licking the pustules. Within a few hours, that calf high pitched fevers on 105, they're shaken. And within about 6 days, the blood of this animal is trying to reject the smallpox, so it's going to create a pustule. It's going to create an infectious byproduct, and it comes oozing out through those incisions. And then eventually it creates a scab reservoir over the diseased area. Then they bring it back, strap it down again, and then they take this sharp instrument and they clamp every incision first. They clamp all 100 of them so they can squeeze out as much as they can. And they scrape this rotted flesh and all this scab and infectious reservoir, and they put it in the crucible. And then they crush it down in a small electric motor. And then they run it through a sieve, a fine mesh, to get rid of the rotten, all the rotted hair and all of the scab byproducts and all of the pustulence, and sift it through, and then they homogenize it, and then they run it through again, another process of crucible, grinding it down, homogenization. And then it's so toxic that they have to use adjuvants to kill off any of the infectious byproducts. That is why they're using mercury and aluminum and formaldehyde and formalin. Their justification as well, we're just using these antimicrobials and these antiseptics, you know, just for stabilizers or just to try to, you know, try to kill off some of the infectious byproducts so you don't get sick from this injection. So now you're getting the witch's brew on top of whatever the animal had as far as viruses. So this calf, when it gets sick, they got to create an animal sickness. But when you're sick, what happens? What do you do? What do you produce? Viruses and bacteria. So now you're getting animal viruses, and this is how sick this one is. When you flip it over to how they do the DPT, the diphtheria. They take a horse, and they actually take a 12-inch instrument, so they'll pipe like a rod, and it's beveled on the end, and it's about a half inch wide, and they cram it into the jugular vein of the horse. Again, they have it, you know, split up, lock the head in so it can't move. And what they'll do is they take the diphtheria, which is cultured from throat swabs from a human. And again, they take small increments down the tube, just enough to get slowly the horse sick, because otherwise they'll kill. If there's too much of the diphtheria used, obviously the horse would die. So they're going small increments, and it's exponential. Every day they drop a little bit more until this horse becomes acutely sick again, just like the cow. They keep it up, locked up. And then eventually, again, that horse will start producing an antibody which is trying to fight that diphtheria. And then also what they do is they take and the horse, and when they drain it, they do what's called blood sapping. This is done in weekly intervals. After the body's fighting this, they take about a quarter of a pint per week out of this horse. 6 weeks later, 6 months later, they have about 6 pints of this blood, and they have it sit there, and it settles. All of the solid parts on the top settle down to the bottom. So they take the liquidy serum, and then they use that, and then they use an extremely cold, hard, toxic chemical called triclosan. Triclosan is so cancer-causing, and it's causing brain damage and paralysis to humans, and they use that as the antiseptic to try to kill off the witch's brew infectious agents of this vaccine. And that's what they're injecting in our children. Okay, that's high-tech medicine. And what does the scripture talk about to inject things like that in the blood? You don't ever, ever stick foreign antigen byproducts into a human's blood, especially injections. Okay? And then also the live virus, they have to, it's called attenuate. They have to do serial passage. Now tell me this isn't dangerous. They take a live measles, and they have to run it through the chicken embryos, and they take the polio, the live polio, and to attenuate it, make it weak enough, otherwise you can't shoot a live polio into your blood to get it. But what their sick minds is, well, they're thinking, well, we need to weaken it or attenuate it, so they run it through serial passage through animal tissue. So with the polio, they picked the monkeys, and they were using the greens, and they were using the rhesus way back in the 50s, and this is what created the HIV and the cancers of today. So what they're doing is when they're running the human virus through it, you get what's called a hybrid. You get a recombinant. It recombines with the monkey viruses it lives with, an SV40, simian cytomegalovirus. So they live with their own viruses, and it's compatible to their immunity. It's virulent to us as a human. So now they're mixing a human polio, and it's running through, mixing with an SV40 and these retroviruses. What do you think you're going to get when you do that? Hello, cytomegalia. Hello, Epstein-Barr. Hello, mononucleosis. Hello, HPV. They made every retrovirus you've ever heard of from since the 70s, the little mononucleosis, the kissing disease. Now they've got to blame someone else for what they did. Now it's a little hippie disease, or it's just a gay disease, you know. So they've got to justify their actions, their corrupt science, by pawning it off on someone else's escape route. So all of these retroviruses you hear about, Epstein-Barr, cytomegalia, mononucleosis, herpes viruses, CMV, cancer viruses, are all done by our government. And it's purposely done because, guess what, people? Sickness is big business now. And if they can get you to believe that vaccines are safe and effective and you buy that lie, they've got you, because you'll never look at it for your sickness that caused your daughter or your son or your wife or your coworkers or your family members. You'll never look at it. In fact, you'll think that people are crazy when someone tells you. And they've done it. They've done a good job to make us believe. I know you guys were preaching to the choir, and I know a lot of you have woken up, but look at it. This is a handful. Millions of people should be hearing this. So either they don't want to know the truth, or Satan's got them keeping away from knowing the truth. But it's still their responsibility of being here listening to this information. So there's not a doctor, there's not a nurse on this planet that knew how they're made would ever give it any conscience. But they don't know. They really, truly believe that vaccines are safe and effective. Because that's what we've been taught to believe. There's never a bigger lie ever told on this planet then vaccines are safe and effective. Pharmaceuticals are safe and effective. Chemotherapy treats cancer, and we're going to get into that. How brainwashed can you believe that mustard gas is going to cure your cancer? That's amazing how Satan has turned that off to where it's high-tech medicine, and they're sticking mustard gas derivatives from World War I into your blood, and you're sick, and you have no immunity, and your hair falls out, and you vomit. That's not cancer doing that. That's chemo doing that. It's melting you from the inside out. And yet, hit me again, Doc. How brainwashed can you be? Amazing to me. How you can think that mustard gas and radiation causes cancer. People, they tell you to stay away from detonations and A-bombs 100 miles away from this radiation. And they're sticking it right in your blood and running behind a lead wall when they hit the switch on it. And you're in a little apron. Hit me again, Doc. I'm going to get well. It's amazing to me how we bought that lie. So we're children of the lie. Not so much you, I'm just saying outside of this room, we are children of the lie. We bought the lie. And there's going to be a lot of lies I'm going to cover in the next 2 hours. So you're going to find out that everything you've ever heard of on CNN, newspapers, Time Magazine, Discover, JAMA, New England Journal of Medicine, peer reviews is false. Everything you're going to hear in the next 2 hours. And then we're going to get into some Q&A, and I'll even show you some treatment modalities for all diseases. We'll open it up to any disease, from cancer to diabetes to autoimmune. Who can tell me how these vaccines are causing all of the autoimmune diseases? Can you tell me? This is a sharp crowd.
Destroying the autoimmune
system. How are these vaccines directly causing these autoimmune disorders? Can you tell me that? What is metals attract to? Mercury, aluminum, where do they go? In the body, what would it be attracted to? Something electrical. Metals attract to high electricity. Where is the electricity in a human? The brain, the central nervous system, the heart, the meninges, the myelin sheaths of the central nervous system. There's where they go. That's why there's so many neurological disorders on this planet in the 21st century. Do you see the epidemics that are going on with all these neurological of Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, ALS, Guillain-Barre, myasthenia gravis? It seems like every week there's a new disease out on CNN. And I'm going to get into that. These aren't even diseases. We've been lied to again. None of them are diseases. They're disease labels. The descriptive labels cause the same disease. So how Satan works is he's going to give you 80% truth, and he's going to take that 20% and leave it out, twist it, pervert it, or create a disinformation that's fragmented. If you knew that 20%, it would change the whole story, and that's what you're going to see in the next 2 hours. Everything we've bought as truth is a lie. Okay? So we're going to get our thinker's caps on and get ready. And then we'll do a lot of questions and answers, because I want everyone in here to understand what disease is by the time we're done. Everybody in here should know in detail how the disease sets in, because it's simple. Even our children will understand it, the ones that are listening. Okay? Okay, so the metals attract. I'm going to show you exactly what happens. The metals attract to what? To the weakest link in the chain of organs, the path of least resistance. So everybody has a weak organ or weak tissues that they'll migrate to. They create a Siamese twin bond. And when they create a bond to healthy proteins, where the attachment is where it creates what's called an immune complex. That immune system comes in, it's only doing its job, just like April says, and it's trying to take this foreign antigen piece off of your healthy tissue where it's located. So what happens when those white blood cell Pac-Man try to attack the foreign part with the mercury and the aluminum and the formaldehyde and the formalin and the animal viruses and so forth? When it attacks that witch's brew connected to it, including what you're eating, drinking, and breathing on top of it, what happens to that healthy tissue? What happens when the white blood cells attack? They create an inflammatory response from histamines. They produce cytokines, you know, they would call it leukotrienes and cytokines and prostaglandins and histamines. They swell. So the swelling is the location that it's happening to and the trash can labels they give it as new diseases. So they're all the same disease. Every autoimmune disease is the same disease. It's just the location's different. So they make you believe, there's a lie, that there's 150 different autoimmune disorders. And they all need what? New treatments. So here's the scam. Here's the shame of their game is their name. The shame of the game is their name. The name, the trash can label they give it, they use this techno jargon. This is how they pull it off. They use this doctrinese language. They use this sophisticated techno jargon. And they get you to move through fear on the techno-jargon doctrinaire's language, just like lawyers do, as you scan. So they talk in the sophisticated language they're taught in med school for 6 days. They don't even know what they're talking about. And they talk over you, and you go, look at Doc, you sound smart, you got more degrees than a thermometer behind your name, you've been to heart, here, drop me a cup, they burn me. You know, and there is your fear tactic to get you to move to their treatment modalities. You don't get your tumor by Tuesday morning, you're going to die. You don't get your surgery by Wednesday morning, you're going to die. Well, you're going to die anyways if you get your chemo. That's what they don't tell you. Here's your half-truth again, your twist. So they get you to believe, oh man, there's nothing out there. It's all sorcery and witchcraft. Anything else had a drug cut, burn, poison, tumors next. And they get you to believe that mustard gas is going to get you well. Radiation is going to get you well. But they will use the techno jargon to talk over you so you don't know what they're talking about. That's how they get you to believe. Okay? Uh-huh.
Hey, doctor, would you comment on something you just said? I've heard heart disease associated with
ventilation. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Sure, absolutely. In fact, inflammatory response is the name they give it in aortitis. So they use the name, the first name, and most understand it, is the name of the organ or tissue, and then the back part is inflammation up. So arthritis, heart is joint, itis inflammation. Inflammation of the joint is describing something. That's not a disease. It's describing the inflammatory response in the joint. Fibromyalgia. Fibrin, myo, muscle, algae, pain. Fibrin, myo, algae. Fibromyalgia. Algae pain in the muscle fibers. That's describing something. That's not a disease. It's describing the pain in the muscle fibers of the fibrin. Okay? But the location of the trigger point burning pain is where the symptomology appears through this so-called disease. And all it is toxic buildup and lack of oxygen, and the pH becomes acidic, and you get an autoimmune attack and it creates a burning sensation, and there's your disease label. It's not a disease. Parkinson is the name of a doctor. Dr. Parkinson. Lou Gehrig's a baseball player. Hashimoto's a Japanese scientist. There's nothing of a disease about those names or labels. Jack Tourette is a patient that has Tourette syndrome. Back when it says syndrome, what we're saying is we're too stupid to figure it out. We don't know what it is. Any syndrome, chronic fatigue syndrome, is not a disease. That's fatigue from damage to your mitochondria. You can't produce energy. They don't even know that. As simple as that is, that's etiology. Mitochondrial damage, ATP production synthesis shut down. That is a disease. They all know that. You know what they say in their pathological books, the pathophysiology? Etiology unknown. That just tells you, why would you go to them? They don't know where it is. They don't have no clue. So chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, Julian Brake is from 1980s. In fact, heart disease, inflammation of cardiac tissue, carditis. That's what they'll look at it. So the cardiac tissue inflammatory response, and it's in stage 4. And I'm going to get into the stages of how that happens. There's 7 stages of disease before you die. And the body only gives you a chance to live through the stages to make sure that you go on a sliding scale instead of going this way to death, you go backwards to health. I'm going to show you that homotoxicology sliding scale of how that happens. Okay? And then I want to get into all of the questions and answers pertaining to specifics if anybody wants a question on how you treat these diseases. Because absolutely none of them are diseases. Now, here's what they teach the medical doctors, and here's one of the biggest lies in med school, is there's 10,000, or less than 20,000 diseases. Does anybody know how many labels they made up for diseases? I think it's 20,000 doctors. How many think there really are? How many diseases do you think are really the real diseases?
What?
It's only one. What is it? What's the body made of? Cells. So 140 different types of cells. And out of those 140 types, the cellular functional disorder, cellular malfunction, is the disease. So massive amounts of 6 cells is disease. That's it. Disease is when massive amounts of cells get sick, they cannot operate. They can't function properly. So depending on the location of the cellular functioning, or cellular malfunction, or cellular disorder, is the blinking oil lights that the Lord gives you for intelligence. Every single symptom, and I want the children to notice, every single symptom that the body gives, headache, dizziness, bloating, pain, tiredness, is not the disease, it's the warning signal of cellular functional disorders. That's it. So when cellular functional disorders going on in this part of the brain through heavy metals and vaccines that are leaked in through the brain, your mercury in your teeth, your aluminum in your aluminum cans, your aspartame, your MSG that a lot of this leaks into the blood-brain barrier, if it's lodged here, this metals wraps around the cells that regulate what? Here. Thought. Thought process and also memory. So you're going to get short-term memory as a symptom first, and brain fog, and then if you don't do anything about it, like heavy metal chelation, or clean yourself up, or change your lifestyle, it's going to switch into a long-term memory called Alzheimer's label. That's a label of cellular functional disorder here. If the metals and the toxins and the neurotoxins end up in the part of the brain where the substantia nigra is that produces dopamine, there's your Parkinson's label from Dr. Parkinson. But it's going to give you festination and shuffling gait symptomology. Same disease, two different symptoms, two different parts of the brain. Same stuff doing it. Both sides, heavy metals, lack of water, lack of oxygen, circulation problems. We're going to get into the nine pillars. Infectious factors at the site, and pH problems, and immunosuppression. And no matter where it is happening, it's different cellular structures manifesting different symptoms. That's like a car. You go in your car. Here's an MD. He goes in his car and he looks at the blinking oil light and says, I'm looking at the engine, I'm looking at the light. I think it's the light. That's what I see blinking. If I can get rid of that light, I can fix my engine. So he sticks his scissors out and he snips the wire, or he put a piece of gum over the indicator and he goes, you know what, I think I can fix my engine. I don't see the blinking oil light no more. So he keeps driving his engine, his car, and all of a sudden the engine burns up. That's what they're going to do to you. They're going to snip your headache with an analgesic next. You have cellular engine problems still. You're still dehydrated. You still have vasoconstriction due to stress. You still have lack of oxygen. You still have maybe a subluxation in the cervical region where you need a chiropractor to open up the energy flow. That's the problem, not the symptom. So if you knock out the symptom and snip the wire with a narcotic or an NSAID, a nonsteroidal, or codeine, or fiorinol, what do you just do? You just made your cellular engines worse in the brain. Now you're not going to set up shop for aneurysms, embolisms, cancer in the long run. So the system is set up to snip your wires, your warning signals, and drive you into the hospital. That's what it's set up to do. I'm going to prove it beyond a shadow of a doubt today. Now that is sorcery, it's witchcraft. There's nothing of God in medicine other than trauma, crisis, care, period. Sometimes you need a surgical procedure. If you've got necrosis where an organ is ready to fall apart, yes, you have to cut that dead tissue out. There's no options on that. I have to do that sometimes with some of my patients. I can't work with them until that happens. Or if you have a cancer growing so fast that it's impinging in vital organs, the tumor site, and if let's say you can't have a bowel movement because the tumor is growing inside the colon or it's pressing up against your heart, you have to debunk it. My procedures are too slow. I can't do anything until we get the tumor small enough to be able to work with it. So there is areas of medicine. You don't come to me as a naturopathic physician if you need a hemorrhage cauterized by a laser. You don't come to me if you have severe meningitis that's life-threatening. You don't come to me if you have life-threatening pneumonia or broken bones or you need your fingers sewn off because you cut it off in a bandsaw. You don't come to me for that. But you come to me when you have the labels. Naturopathic physicians, and we have one in the audience, and it's nice to see a Christian naturopath. They are trained in getting to the cellular functional disorders, and then the blinking oil lights go away instead of snipping the wire. So you have two choices. You can suppress the symptomology, that's God's warning signals of cellular diseases, or you can look at the cellular level, fix that, and the warning signals go away in a self-healing autogenic system. We are born with a healing factor inside the body that's autonomic. You don't have to think about how your heart's going to pump. You don't have to think about your broken bone being mended. It's autonomic. And there's your intelligence behind the molecular machines. I'm going to even get into shattering evolution here too. You cannot have a human being's intelligence through primordial soup from 6 billion years ago. Okay, where is the intelligence? How do you explain the intelligence behind the molecular machines? They know how to speed up, know how to slow down. They know how to make a hormone. They know how to make a neurotransmitter if they have to. They know how to make ATP for energy. They're communicating through a fiber optic phone system constantly. There's 100 trillion cells right now communicating in your body. We don't even know about it. Who's running that machine? Is it evolution? Evolution, that's what they should call it. Evolution. So, getting back to disease process, is the big picture. What is the common link to the cellular function of the disorders? What's the most important river to it? The blood. It's all about the blood. Just like it's all about the blood with Christ for spiritual life, it's all about the blood for physical life. So you either have a river of life or a river of death and disease on your hands. How would you get a river of death and disease? What would be one of the elements? What initiates it? Vaccines are the initiators. And the potentiators, there's initiators and potentiators. The potentiators are kind of like pouring gasoline on the barn every day, the fuel. And you pour it on and pour it on. Nothing's going to happen until you bring the light in and light it up. What would be the light of disease? What's the spark? What we eat, what we drink, what we bathe in, stressors, trauma. Anything that's traumatizing, you know, loss of a loved one, a divorce, you lose your job and took it long, car accident, something, boom, initiates trauma, you know, a big fight with your parents that you just didn't handle right, and it lights the flame. Every single patient, especially cancer, if you ask them what happened in your life within the last 6 months, they tell you that they lost their mother or their father, they lost their job, something traumatizing happens to them, almost always, especially with fibromyalgia. Okay? So now, the blood river to the cells, what would be a nourishment to these 100 trillion cells from the blood? What would the blood have to be carrying? Oxygen, the breath of life. I'll give you a hint. Genesis. You know what Genesis means? Genesis. The beginning of the genes. Genesis, Genesis. So in Genesis, it tells you what the human body's composition is. What is it? We are born from the dust of the ground and we go back to the dust of the ground. Do you know that up until now, they didn't have the technology to find out the composition of a human? And they found out, you know what it is? Carbon, oxygen, hydrogen, nitrogen, and combinations of. What's in the dirt? Carbon, oxygen, hydrogen, nitrogen, and trace minerals. That's what our skin's made of, our bone, our hair, our hormones, our neurotransmitters, our cells are made of carbon, oxygen, hydrogen, nitrogen, and combinations of carbohydrate. Your protein, carbon, oxygen, hydrogen, nitrogen, the building blocks of the human body. Your fats, carbon, oxygen, hydrogen, nitrogen. It's just they switch the molecules just a little bit to change it from a lipid structure to protein to a carbohydrate structure. But we're literally $2.50 worth of dirt until the Lord spoke it into existence through the breath of life. And then we're priceless now because of His supernatural infusion to the soul. And it says, breathed in us the breath of life and became a living soul. Soul is not the physical body. The soul is the outside invisible body. So the biggest factor in med school is they teach the human body that if they can't see something, touch it, feel it in the five senses, it's not there. When everyone knows in here that the soul realm of anger and even bitterness and stress factors, the unseen manifests the seen ulcer or cancer tumors. And if you don't know that, you shouldn't be practicing. But that's a gimme, and they still teach that if they can't see it, touch it, smell it, feel it, it's not there. So they're already running on three cylinders of knowledge, of edge on knowing, knowledge, edge on knowing, no edge. In med school, on top of their other lives, of compartmentalizing the body like a bunch of car parts. Everybody knows in here that all our systems work in synchronicity. You cannot separate the heart from the nervous system or the glands. They all work together. You can't cut the neck off and call it psychology. The brain runs 100 trillion cells simultaneously. They still teach that in med school. Think about that. Harvard, Baylor, Stanford, Loma Linda, the top worldly universities, carnal universities, teach that garbage today. And everybody knows that's a lie. Your children know that. But the human body works synchronized. All the systems work at one time. No cell works alone. No organ works alone. No system works alone. And we don't even work alone as an organism. We have to communicate with each other, else we die. If we separated ourselves and never talked to anybody and stuck ourselves in a black room, we'd die. We need communication, just like the cells communicate. This is very interesting. There's a perfect correlation to cell and us in a micro scale. So if you take a human cell, you take us, it's exactly the same. We have skin, cells have skin. It's called a phospholipid membrane. The semipermeable leaks, just like this leaks when we bathe. That's why when you bathe in tap water, chlorine, fluoride, you're getting 7 glasses of drinking of tap water every time you shower. Common sense tells you to put a shower filter. Stay away from the landmines. You breathe that chlorine, it's like breathing the carbon dioxide gas, the chlorine gas that they did in World War I. And it did real good, it killed the soldiers, it did real good. These are the landmines that Lucifer lays out. There is no AMA, there is no FDA, there's no EPA, there's no Environmental Protection Agency. If there is, where are they sleeping? They have smokestacks blowing out nuclear waste, just blowing it out in the atmosphere. Every single factory has blown out just certain smoke. They don't even have mandatory smoke tests. That's the first thing they should be doing, if there's an EPA. If the AMA was looking out for your best interest, they wouldn't be putting drugs on the market that are killing people. 100,000 people died just recently, and a biopsy, and they put it back on the market. Think about that. It's back on the market. They snuck it back on through lobbying in Washington and Bush and Clinton's. Amazing. Another 100,000 will die. Who cares? Population control of them. You don't care. Then hit you on the back end and you're sick. For more hospital expenses. That's what it's set to do, people. God's people need to know that. It's a good old boy. They start it. They feel the fire with the sickness of the vaccine. Now they got lifelong dependency on you and your children. And then they hit you with the pharmaceuticals and the surgery and cut your body parts out. And here's the system. Slowly die. Back in your insurance. $250,000 later out of your insurance, they spit you into hospice. Dr. Kevorkian medicine. That's reality. And the Dr. Kevorkian medicine is your little morphine sulfate that they kill you with slowly and call it comforting the patient. That's what they call it, comforting, after they murder you. And it's amazing to me how that they're so deceived that they think they're comforting the patient. You're talking about some Luciferian deceivers? How can you not see that? And they even give the drip to the patient. Here, do it yourself. Hit the button every time you want one. Amazing, people. You need to wake up. And it's amazing that I've even, you know, talked with hospice nurses, loving people. I mean, their hearts are this big. They just bought the lie. And, you know, I explained to one of the nurses about 8 months ago, I said, I want to try to do this in a nice, loving way. But you're murdering these patients. Morphine sulfate has half-life of 5 hours. When you hit them with a shot at 1 o'clock, it lasts till 6. And you hit them at 2, it lasts till 7. You hit it again, it lasts till 8. So after 3 shots, they get enough to kill a horse in their system. And it comes compounding, synergistic. Stays in their system, and all of a sudden they fall asleep and never wake up. You know what they say? Oh, he just died. Lucy didn't die a horrible death. He died in his sleep. And they killed the patient. They didn't even know that. It's amazing to me. Another lie that we bought. Luciferian lies. Here's another lie, germ theory. Germs don't cause disease. Viruses, bacteria do not cause disease. If that was the case, everyone would be dead right now. We got a trillion of them on your arm. You got them in your intestines. You got them all over inside your body, on your legs. You can't get away from them. There's a symbiotic relationship with them. And I'm not saying lick your fingers all the time. I mean, you got to be wise as a steward. But it's the healthy condition of you upon exposure to the germ. And again, 80% truth and 20% lies in medical. If they knew the 20%, that it was the actual healthy conditions of your pH, your nutritional status, your oxygen levels, your stress levels, your other nutritional elements in the blood, are you exercising? Are you getting the circulation moving? Those factors will either reject the disease or accept the germ. Either it's going to take over an unhealthy, compromised terrain, or the healthy individual is going to choke out and keep the virulent pathogen at bay, one or the other. And I'll prove my point to you. You go into an elevator. Someone's got the flu. You have 2 people walk in, the door shuts. This one guy sneezes on both of them. Equal exposure to the adenovirus or the rhinovirus. And they go home. One gets the flu and one doesn't. Well, if it was the germ theory, they should have both got the flu. Why didn't one get it? The components of healthy status of high exposure was strong enough to keep it at bay. It has nothing to do with the germ. Absolutely nothing. Anthrax killed 5 people. and the anthrax, 800 people were exposed in the ducts. What happened to the other 800? So what Satan does is he'll promote the five dead and then use the scam, oh, it's the germs, we better have antibiotics, antivirals, and then all the scams, most billions of dollars on the other end for all the drug sales, just Cipro and all the other antibiotics. Here's your motive, it's an agenda. These lies always will relate to an agenda. Cholesterol has nothing to do with heart disease. What's the motive lie behind that? Cholesterol myth? Because you can what? You can take your statin drugs now. And cholesterol has nothing to do with it. I have patients that have 600 cholesterol that never get heart attacks. And I've seen about seven of them that died of heart attacks because they didn't listen to me. They kept on their drugs. And they had 120 readings of cholesterol. It has nothing to do with it. It's what's called C-reactive protein and homocysteine. They'll never teach that to MDs because they want their sales to go. There is no truth in medical science. None. Other than how to fix a broken bone, you know, how to do a cauterization, you know, the trauma side wing is their expertise. When it comes to disease epidemiology, they keep them in the dark. And I'm writing a book now called Double Blinded Doctors in the Dark. Double Blinded is going to be a doctor on the cover, not the studies. So he's going to have Coke bottle left. So he's double blinded, not the studies. Doctors in the dark, they keep them in the dark. And how do they keep them in the dark? How? What runs the universities?
Pharmaceuticals.
That's right. The drug companies run the universities. How? You need to know this. How do they do it? Yeah. The grant money insertion. What they do is it's a form of prostitution and blackmail is what it is. They call up the CEO of Paris, Swig, Winthrop, Pfizer, calls up the dean of Harvard and says, I'll tell you what, we need to have a little meeting. So they sit down and have a meeting and they say, I'll tell you what, I'm going to give you a $50 million check right now on the basis you use our money for pharmaceutical research, chemotherapy, cocktails, radiation, you know, maybe a better scoping device, a better pacemaker, something in the trauma unit. We catch you outside the box with our money doing non-toxic, non-invasive treatments that can't be patented, that are not synthetic. Not only will we yank the money back, we'll never give you a dime again, we'll give it to Baylor next time. There's your blackmail. There's nothing scientific about it. Their endeavors. They lie, they'll cheat, they'll steal, they get their grant money because scientists and doctors get paid by invention of new drugs. So their motive is we got to do whatever we got to do. We got to lie, we got to cheat, do whatever we can, buy this information to get the grant money in order to get their projects. And they're amusing themselves. That's all they're doing is amusing themselves. Because if you're looking for answers in cancer over here, it's analogous to, you know, losing your keys in your living room and you're looking in your kitchen. And you keep looking and looking in your kitchen, it's over here, but you keep looking here, and then you hire the top detectives because you can't find it to look in the kitchen. They'll hire the top scientific minds to look here at drug research, chemotherapy, radiation, cutting out body parts, and the answers are over here. So they're amusing themselves. They're spinning their wheels on a treadmill for their 100 grand income or quarter million, whatever they make. That's reality, people. And I'll prove my point. Let's pick cancer. I'm going to show you the biggest lie of cancer. The tumors are not even the disease. So they're looking at, over here, they're looking at drill, cut, burn, poison tumors thinking they're going to cure the cancer. When the tumor is an intelligent cocoon bubble encapsulation, a mutated cell, the runaway train, if you will, and it cocoons it to stop it from spilling back into your blood or lymph to cause a metastatic lesion or a secondary tumor popping up. This is God's intelligence. So the cocoon in a body part where it starts, wraps around, it's called a fibrinogen protein bubble, and they look at that as the cancer. They can somehow get rid of that cocoon, they'll cure their cancer. The cancer disease is over here. It's a process, not an object. And the tumor pops up 10 years later, 15 years later, because of the damage to the DNA. And the body's trying to get rid of the damage. It's an intelligent system. So what it's trying to do is trying to trigger it to cell apoptosis to program cell death. It's trying to get rid of it. A lot of times the genes go haywire and it doesn't happen the way it's supposed to. And there's where you get your big tumor cell and it eventually feeds off you. So the cancer process is here, invisible. Toxicity, heavy metal problems, pH is acidic, immunosuppression, nutritional deficiencies. This is the cancer process incubating for years and decades. and then the bubble cocoon pops up. Here's them. They're looking over here again. Over here, they're looking at removing tumor removal strategies and research, and the answers are over here. And cleaning up the patient, changing pH, building immunity, nutritional status, getting circulation to the tumor site, and then targeting the tumors with sound wave, heat, choke the blood supply. That's a real doctor. Over here, let's go to drug cut, germ poison tumors next. Drug cut, burn poison bubbles next. Drug cut, burn poison tumors next. And they release the poison in you, circulating, destroying your brain, your liver, your heart, and your kidneys. You know what the analogy that would be? Be like having a mouse in your basement. And so, you know what? I don't really feel like setting a mousetrap. I think what I'll do is I'll put two sticks of dynamite and I'll blow out my house to get my mouse. As silly as that is, that's what they're going to do to you if you choose that route. They will destroy your brain, your heart, your liver, poison your blood, your bone marrow. You need your immune system to fight any disease, and they wipe it out through mustard gas. It destroys your bone marrow. Wipes out your white blood cell, your neutrophils, your natural killers. It wipes it out. And you need that to fight off secondary tumors or any type of opportunistic infection. First thing you do is wipe it out. Is that of God? Amazing to me. And these are Christians that believe this stuff. Outside of this room, amazing to me how they bought the lie of, I'm going to poison myself into health. I'm going to poison myself into health. Radiation causes cancer. We talked about that. So how would you cure cancer? You would look at the process. Here. How do you reverse? Here. Now the tumor shrivels up and turns black and necrotic, peels like an onion, if you treat here. You treat the actual causative underlying factors. And we'll get into that later on about what they are. There's about 10 of them. And when you address those, the tumor just shrivels up on its own and dies. You don't need to poison your whole body to get to it. Okay, let's go back to square one. I'm going to teach the children here. This is very powerful for children to even understand the disease process. I do tubes in trouble for children all the time. And it kind of shows them why these labels are done. And the human body has 60,000 miles of blood tubing. 60,000. If you take every capillary, every vein, and every artery, and you put it back to back in a line, it goes around the world twice. That's how many arteries and veins and capillaries in one human. And that river goes to the 100 trillion cells. So, the tubes, structures of the body of the river, this is very interesting. Every single structure of this human creation is a tubular structure, every bit of it. Women have fallopian tubes, bronchi tubing, the DNA is a coiled tube, pores, cylindrical tubing, less gases escape. You have esophageal tubing, colon's a 30-foot coiled tube. You have even structures called vesicles and tubulars, microtubulars, just like a light bulb, filaments inside the cell. We have nasal passages, sinus tubing that drain here. We also have tubing in the eyes, optic nerve tubing, ganglia tubing, and they're all, our nervous system is electrical tubing. So everything's flowing tubes if you're healthy. Okay? Now, when the tubes get ballooned, or they get constricted, or they get weakened, or they get smashed, or they get cut, is the name of the tube that's in trouble. That's how simple it is. And every child in here, when I show you this, is smarter than any MD right now when I give this to these children. If you have a blocked tube in the brain, what's it called, children? If you get a blocked blood tube in the brain, what's it called? A stroke. If you get a blocked coronary blood tube in the heart, what's it called? Heart attack. Myocardial infarction is what they'll call it. If you get a blocked colon tube, what's it called? Constipation. Three different blocked tubes, same disease, three different names. Stroke, heart attack, constipation. Three blocked tubes. What's the tube called when it's ballooned? An aneurysm. The blood tube is exploded, what's it called? An embolism. If the tube is cut, what's it called? A hemorrhage. Cut blood tube. If it's smashed, what's it called? A contusion turns black and blue. Doctors don't even know that. It's amazing. They don't even know it's tubes in trouble. tubes and systems of tubes that are in trouble. The nervous system tubing, when it gets damaged, neurological disorders. Take your pick where it's at, where the nervous system damage is. The neurological tubing is either impinged or it's subluxated. If you have a infected bronchi tube, what's it called? Pneumonia. If it's an inflamed bronchi tube, what's it called? Bronchitis. If it's a constricted bronchi tube, what's it called? Asthma. Same disease, except that one's infected, one's inflamed, one's constricted. You know, this is not even taught in med school, and it should be the first day it should be taught. It's amazing. Think it again, he doesn't want truth to be told. Okay? God is a God of simplicity, not of complexity. And anytime there's chaos and mystery and confusion, it's not of him. He wants simplicity taught, and disease is extremely simple to understand. If you can understand what I just said, that the blood river flow to the 100 trillion cells, when it becomes contaminated, when you understand that the tubes get either constricted or they're blocked by congestion of cheese and white flour and so forth, that obstruction leads to lack of energy to the cell. Very simple. When the cells cannot get electrical form vibration energy to them, they start wobbling. They go from high vibratory rate and they start going like this, wobbling. This is very interesting, that when the cell is healthy and it's vibrating real high and fast, you've got high energy levels, and it sucks in like a magnet the water, the vitamins, the proteins, intracellular. As soon as they become sick, they get an opposite spin on them, and they repel. So water, vitamins, proteins can't get in, and they float on the outside. There's where it becomes sick. It cannot receive the intelligent nutrient intracellular, so it starts degenerating, going down to the basement. Every cell in your body has a different half-life. There's some cells that last 6 months, some last 4 months, some last 7 years. But it's always dying, replacing, dying, replacing. Now, everybody in here, their heart dies off every 7-8 months. You get a whole new heart every 8 months. You get a whole new skin layer every 21 days. It sheds like a snake. You get a whole new layer. It's called the dermis. You get a whole new mucosal lining every 5 days. Your taste buds turn over every 9 days. Your liver is about every 4.5-5 months because it regenerates very fast. And your skeletal system dies off between 7 to 10 years. So everyone in here gets a new body every 7 to 10 years. Now I said a new one, not a better one. Just a new one. Now is that new body degenerative from the last one, or is it regenerative is the question. Depending on the last generation, what the cell is bathing in. What those cells are bathing in. They're bathing in toxic soup. And the Frankenfoods and the Krispy Kremes and the Cokes and the Dr. Peppers and the toxic waters and so forth, they're going to degenerate. If that cell is bathing in oxygen and water, clean food, clean air, good circulation, pH is right, your immune system is strong, that cell just regenerates no matter how damaged it is, unless it is a point of return of damage. So that blood river flows to the cells. When the cells become sick, it's the location of the cellular sickness is where they label it. Very simple. So what do they call a sick red blood cell? What's that called? We're going to get into all the diseases at the cellular level. Here, real simple.
Red blood cell disorder or functional disorder is what's it called? What's the trash can label? Anemia. You get a T cell malfunction, what's it called? AIDS. And T cell dying at AIDS. If you have a DNA cell malfunction, what's it called? Cancer. If you have a parietal cell malfunction and a stump that regulates acidity, what's it called? GERD or acid reflux. If you have cellular malfunction of cardiac cells, what's it called? Heart disease. Cellular malfunction of the kidneys, what's it called? Nephritis or renal insufficiency. Cellular malfunction of the liver, what's it called?
Cirrhosis
or hepatitis, depending on the structure of the liver. What type of cell? Is it a Kupffer cell? Is it a hepatocyte? There's different cells in different bodies. So all they're doing is repackaging the same disease 20,000 different ways because they can get away with it by the symptoms are different. That's a scam. That's the name of the shame of the game. When this gets out, and pray for me to get protection, don't bring it out. Go to war, I'll go front line. When this gets out, the game's over. Because children can figure this out. And it shatters all of medical science. We're going to shatter all of medical science as well. It's very simple to do. When you have the wisdom
And it's the Lord's wisdom, I thank Him for this. I give credit to Him because He's given me that revelation. That you have to figure out that it's a unified theory. Every disease is the same, but the location and the symptomology is different, and then you get away with the scan. So, cellular malfunction, so let's say this part of the brain is called Alzheimer's. If it's this part of the brain, it's Parkinson's. If it's this part, it's going to be tremors. If it's this part of the brain, it's hallucinations. It just depends on what location of the brain and the symptomology of it. So what do they do here? I'm going to prove it's not a synthetic medicine. Knowing that information when you go to an MD, why are you going there? What are you having? Let's take a sentence. Your cellular functional disorders are not caused by drug deficiency. When you have a depression, that's not a Prozac deficiency. When you have heart disease, that's not a nitroglycerin deficiency. That did not give you drug deficiency. Or excess body parts, and just cut it out. When in doubt, cut it out. That's the mentality. When in doubt, cut it out. And they can go in exploratory, and they'll stick with it. They go on exploratory surgery, and they just snip the appendix, or snip out the tonsils. That's just excess body parts, that cares. And that's what you get by the evolution of your teaching. And it says, well, so what do you believe? Evolution of creation. It's dangerous information if you believe evolution, because you're going to treat the mind with a bunch of truck parts. Cut them out. That's all you want. And those missing body parts are going to destroy you for the rest of your life. Every body part is accounted for by God. The creation, and it throws off balance of the whole body. When you're missing a part, something's got to work double overtime to compensate for the missing tissue or missing part. It has to, just to keep your engines running, try the engines running.
Okay, so any questions on the one disease and how it happens, the cellular functional disorders and the names of the shame of the game is their name?
I just related to this, talk about symptoms, we hear all the time that certain conditions, not really symptoms, but they're really dangerous anyway. Initially, kind of thinking that if you don't have, if God didn't give you a symptom to warn you, possibly it's not as horrifying and terrifying as this.
Absolutely.
Like high blood pressure itself is a symptomless condition, and you need to really get in here and lower that down. Other things you don't have
that. Right. That's good. Well, let's get into that. That's the perfect timing to get into this. When you have the cellular functional disorders, which are due to lack of water and dehydration, toxicity, and here's the thing that the doctors don't understand even with the vaccine. Remember when April showed all of those ingredients in the vaccine? Well, remember they're showing myopic toxicity, homotoxicology. The danger of that is when you mix a lot of, there's probably about 80 of them that you're injecting with. Not only are they injecting one, but they're injecting 45 by the time of 6 months. It becomes compounding, becomes accumulative. It means 1 plus 1 doesn't equal 2 no more. It equals 10, 30, 50, 100 times the toxicity. When you combine a little bit of mercury with a little bit of aluminum, with a little bit of acetone, a little bit of fluorocarbons and fossil fuels, and all the environmental factors you pour on the barn, on top of the vaccine injury. Okay? So where the weakest link is, this stuff, this damage is set. And it's just a matter of time before you breathe, eat, drink, and bathe in 30,000 chemicals Monday, and 25,000 come out through the skin, the colon, the urinary tract, the sewage systems that God built into us. 30,000 come in Tuesday, 25,000 come out. 30,000 come in Wednesday, 25,000 come out. Where do you think these extra 5,000 carcinogens and acids are going if they're not coming out through the skin, the colon, or the urine, or through the lungs? They're stored in the weakest link in the chain of organs, the path of least resistance. If your weak link is the elbows, then this is very interesting, and you need to know this, even our children. The body will never dump the toxins in vital organs first. It will always pick non-priority tissues and organs. Non-priority is fat. It will always store in fat. That's why women are prone for breast and ovarian cancer. Prostate gland, there's where men is prone. Fatty tissue, it's a walnut-sized gland. It's fat. It sucks in like a magnet, the carcinogens, and there's your gas, ready to light. What's another area of fat? The brain, unfortunately, another area, lipids. Right?
Can you explain
that? Yes, the blood-brain barrier will actually protect itself unless it's a micron size that's tiny enough to slip through, and that's where vapor comes in, like mercury. The mercury in your teeth, the vapor comes upstream right through the blood-brain barrier. It doesn't pop. Aluminum is another one. The metals come into the brain. MSG comes into the brain. It's permeable. Neurotoxins, the cytotoxins come into the brain. But the brain's job is to keep a lot of the other poison, like fluorocarbons, fossil fuels, industrial contaminants, and so forth, out. But some will leak through. Now, the brain will hold those carcinogens and metals, and it creates a block of conduction of movement, whether it be motor skill problems, whether it be thought process, cognitive thinking, depending on the part of the brain where it's lodged. That's where the different symptoms come in. That's where the different labels come in. So whether it's Alzheimer's or Parkinson's or dementia or hallucinations, tremors, seizures, it all depends. Autism, ADHD, it's the same disease, but they repackage it depending on what part of the brain is receiving these metals and carcinogens and pesticides and on. Okay, so it is. It's a combination, though. It's not just one. It's not just pesticide. It's not just fluorocarbon. It is not just mercury. It's not just aluminum. It's combining that. That's how they get away with their scam. Try suing them on proof that what created your disease. What created it? It was a mishmash witch's brew that you've been exposed to for 30 years. That's what got you sick. Because your toxic load has been here, and your elimination capability here. Day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, decade after decade, there's your payday. Everybody will get a payday. God's no respecter of persons. I don't care if you're a pastor. I have pastors coming on common cancer. There is no respecter of persons. You reap what you sow. And if you sow Frankenfoods and Krispy Kremes and Coca-Colas and Dr. Peppers every day through taste and conveniency, you will reach a disease. Period. It's inevitable. It might not happen today, it won't happen this week, it won't happen this month, it probably won't happen this year. It will happen. It's inevitable. You will shorten your lifespan. Now, everyone says, well, that's pretty legalistic. What's that got to do with salvation? Nothing, but you're going to get there quicker. That's all. God wants you on this planet long to the salvation of others. I mean, we're here for a purpose, and He wants you witnessing as long as you can. He doesn't want you sick and decrepit after 45 years old on a ventilator or hooked up to an IV in an old folks' home, like most people are. It's amazing. When goes, well, we're living longer. That's a lie. We're not living longer. Here's the lie of that. In 1920s, they didn't have microscopes. They didn't know what germs were. So all the statistics were when obstetrics were delivering babies in one room and running over and playing with dead bodies, one of them was delivering babies, playing with dead bodies all over there, and they were dying at birth, 1 month old, 2 months old, birth, 1 month old, 2 months old, 3 months old, and the statistics were putting the longevity report. Of course it's going to be looking like 57 years old as an average. That's, again, everything's a lie when you read statistics. It's all manipulated by the AMA and the FDA. There's nothing truthful. The fact that the Hitler Holocaust right now is death, you'll never see on CNN or Fox Magazine or newspapers. 3 million people a year die in the States. 3 million. And you know how many die from them? Half of it. 1.5 million a year die of nosocomial and iatrogenic deaths. They make their own category. They say it's telling you right there. We're telling people. Iatrogenic means doctor, hospital, cause, deaths. And it's never reported on the newspapers or CNN. But yet they'll run 9/11 for the rest of your life. 3,000. Ooh, 3,000. They kill that in an hour. Every single hour they kill that many people. Behind closed doors. Calling it Murder Incorporated, MD Anderson, Murder Doctors Incorporated. That's what they should call it. MD Murder Doctors Incorporated. Slaughter and Killing. I mean, Sloan and Kettering, sorry. Up in New York. That's what they should call it. Slaughter and Killing. Because that's how many people die behind those death camps. It is a death camp. No difference between Hitler and between MD Anderson and Sloan and Kettering. The only difference is one dies in 20 minutes, the other one dies in 3 years. It's the only difference. Auschwitz camp victim, both sides. They look the same. Crawled up 90 pounds, hair falling out, vomiting, look like death warmed over. Same. No difference. The henchmen are just the chemotherapy delivers. So, the SF is analogous to oncologists and oncology nurses. And I'm being born here because sometimes you